12th chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 12. And verses 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2.
And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Tonight I'm not going to preach. We already heard a fantastic preaching. It was a rich meat. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I'm not going to give you another teaching. But just a few thoughts which the Spirit of God was speaking to me personally. Just a few thoughts. And then we're going to worship the Lord together. Amen. Hallelujah. Here it says, renew your mind. And that's what I want to entitle these few thoughts. Renew your mind. To have action-oriented thinking. What we think should not just be an observation, but it should be to do something. Many people, they just observe. They come to church, they just observe. They're in a workplace, they just observe. There is no action. We have heard this saying, if somebody was to lift up a glass of water half full and show it to a group of people and say, what do you see? Some of them who are kind of optimists would say, hey, it is half full. Some of them who are pessimists would say, it's half empty. But the action-oriented thinker will pour some more water into that glass. Are you with me? The first two groups of people just observed. But just observing does not change anything. Sometimes people just sit back and say, you know, they think about their problem. All the time they're thinking about the problem, but it isn't solving anything. But there are people who think on what to do, how to get things fixed. You have a problem of sickness in your body, you can get worried over the doctor's report, you can think about it as long as you want. Or you can do something about it. You can go from God's word, study the scriptures on healing, put that into your heart, apply those scriptures into your life and see the healing of God manifested in your life. Your family life is going through a challenge. You can sit back and think about it for as many years as you want. But you can look into God's word, take God's word into your heart and see, Lord, what do I need to do as a husband? What do I need to do as a wife, as a child, as a father, as a mother? And apply and do it and see God work in that situation. Some people just observe things in life and they make excuses. They blame other people for the predicament they are in. You know, but as believers, it is important that we allow our mind to be renewed from just having an observing mind to have a mind that is action-oriented. Amen. The people who know that God shall do great exploits. Their faith is not just a matter of talk, but of power. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus. Amen. In a practical level, you know, you need to set some goals for your life. Now, as a believer, as somebody who wants to be led by the Holy Spirit all the time, I find it very scary to make plans, to set goals. Because I want to be led by the Spirit. Now what if I set goals to say, Lord, I'm going to preach on the resurrection of Jesus for the next 7 weeks and Jesus comes back. You know what I mean? I want to be led by the Spirit and be caught up to meet with Him in the clouds. I don't want to continue my series. So I never would set goals, and the Spirit of God began to speak to me and said, son, in prayer, realistic, practical goals you should set, which is again submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. So even though you have set a goal, set a plan, you still have submitted it to the Lord, and the Lord is free to change it whenever He wants to. But you've said something. Something to work towards. But don't set too many goals. Sometimes people hear a message and they go back and, you know, it's like New Year resolution. You make 10 resolutions or goals. I'm going to go to the gym every day. I'm going to follow this diet. I'm going to pray for 7 hours. I'm going to, you know, read the Bible for 3 hours. I'm going to witness to 10 people. You set so many goals, and you might start on every one of them. But boom, after some time you get discouraged because none of them seems to be going further. Then those initial few days of excitement. So you need to, you know, apply your mind to say, Lord, practically a few goals. A couple of them. Are you with me? Amen. To learn something. You know, Joe Sangal, Joe Chachin, Joe Sanathanam, pastor, man of God. He's nearly 70. He told me he started his keyboard classes because it's always been his desire to, you know, play a keyboard and worship the Lord. So at the age of 70, he started on keyboard classes, and he's practicing on the keyboard to worship the Lord and glorify the Lord. And he says every time he does that, the presence of God is very tangible. His prayer life changed. See, that's an action-oriented goal. Are you with me? Nothing is automatic in your life. Most of the things that we have are things that we learn. And you got to apply your mind to say, I'm going to learn a couple of things. Maybe a new language, if I'm going to be an evangelist or preacher. I try to learn a few English words almost every week. At least a few ones, and I try to use it. Sometimes very miserably. But if I'm going to preach, as well get a couple more words into my vocabulary. Sometimes you need to apply your mind to at least read through the Bible at least once a year. As a preacher, that's one of my goals. Every year I need to just make sure that I at least go through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation at least once. It is your constitution, the Bible, your Magna Carta, the book for your life, God's Word, the Bible. But you might be a believer for 10 years, 15 years, you might be coming to church for 20 years. Can I ask you, have you gone through God's Word at least once? Fifteen minutes a day of easy reading can get you through the Bible in a year. 15 minutes, 1-5, not 5-0. Don't say, ayo, 5-0. No, 1-5. As a matter of fact, I said, Lord, 40 minutes a day can actually make you finish the Bible 3 times a year. Every 4 months. If you want to be a preacher, you want to be a servant of the Lord, preaching God's word, at least know God's word. Read through it. Are you with me? Read it for yourself. You need to set your mind to maybe overcome a bad habit. Sometimes you can come and pray to say, Lord, just set me free supernaturally. Lord, just set me free supernaturally. And I believe in supernatural miracles. But in supernatural manifestation of God's grace in churches that believe in the supernatural, I've still found people who are in bondage. Because they are always waiting for the last 5 years, 10 years. One day the angel of God is going to come down and just break off that chain. But why don't you just set your heart to do it, to apply your heart to do it, and say, I'm going to break off this bad habit. 21 days is what is needed for you to start a new habit. Are you with me? 21 days. You start a good habit, you practice that for 21 days, it becomes a habit. In the gym, you know, sometimes the trainer says, if you have not worked out for 21 days, your muscle loses its memory, muscle memory. And then again, you start taking weights, your body pains, because your muscle has to get used to that again. You can break off a bad habit. Just keep away from that for 21 days and start a good habit. Are you with me? But do something. The second thing about renewing your mind, is this helping somebody? Or do you want me to just preach? The second thing about renewing your mind is always learn to see the big picture. Look at somebody and say, learn to see the big picture. Just not the immediate need. You know, the pressure is always to do something immediately. But you got to see the big picture. Are you with me? You know, one of the things which I'm trying to work on is in dealing with phones. Because it's a major distraction, phones, telephones. I personally feel it is not a great breakthrough technologically. I think it's a huge distraction for mankind. Because people who used to carry their Bible before now just carry their phones. Even in the church service, they'll be sitting there and texting somebody. You know, I began to wonder, why should the phone follow you? Sometimes, you know, somebody makes a call and you feel as if you didn't pick it, you have sinned, you know. You know what I mean? It's like as if you have committed unpardonable sin. Somebody calls you and you can pick it up. But I realized I don't like my life to be controlled by what other people have planned. People are not going to judge you by how many phone calls you have attended, but what you have achieved in life. That's the big picture. Because a phone, you know, just a message or a call can interrupt your thinking. And as a preacher, every week, you know, if I have to preach a fresh sermon or minister something from the Lord, God's word, you gotta, you know, being a pastor is kind of tough in terms that an evangelist just needs to know about 5 to 10 sermons. He can hold a crusade and go on, and he can preach the same sermon in the next city. But a pastor can't do that. Every week he has to preach a fresh sermon. And if he's preaching more than once a week, he has to get fresh inputs, ideas, inspirations, you know, illustrations, whatever, to make it as simple as possible for the people to understand. And that means I have to allow my mind to be kind of, you know, not clogged by phone calls, messages, and emails, and boom, boom. No, I just need to just spend time with the Lord, just walk in my terrace for a few minutes, just relax my mind and just allow fresh thoughts and inputs to come through. Are you with me? And because I have to see the big picture of feeding a congregation, which is the call of a pastor, I have to make sure that I don't get into distractions. And some of you, maybe you're working, but you know, you're working hard, all that, but I mean, are you focused? It's just, you know, have you seen people? I'm quite amazed. People are assessing who will win the reality show. Who's going to be the top chef? Praise the Lord. Some of you just need to fast on your phones. Are you with me? You will still survive. Some of you might need to go to a de-addiction center because you're so addicted to your phone, to the Facebook, to the Twitter or whatever. Now I find it very hard to imagine, you know, Jesus, you know, tweeting, just curse the fig tree. Technology has got its wonders and beauty and all that. But what you got to see is in your life, is it distracting you from the big picture? From doing what God has called you to do? You got to study for your exam. You got to finish your 12th. You got to, you know, get through your MBBS or whatever. And you're busy sitting there and wondering who will win the next reality show. And texting somebody. Or chatting with somebody on the phone. Or on the mail. On the net. And the day before the examination, you come and say, Pastor, pray for me. And if you don't pass, the pastor didn't pray well. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, having the big picture means keeping your emotions in the right place. Like I said last week, you are angry, but not at people, but at a problem. Because anger is a powerful emotion. You don't need to waste it. You need to get home. You're driving home, and suddenly a taxi driver overtakes you. And it's in a bad way. You stop the car, overtake him, or stop the car, and then you're angry with him for 2 hours. And you get back home with a black eye. And then you got a bigger trouble because your wife is suddenly saying you don't spend enough time with her. What happened? You didn't see the bigger picture. Are you with me? The bigger picture was get home as fast as possible. Praise the Lord. Amen. The third thing. Renewing your mind. Commit to progress and not just activities. Commit to progress and not just activities. Everybody says, let's do something. It's not doing something but achieving something. Are you with me? You want to be there for every funeral, every marriage. You want to be there for every function. You're doing a lot of activity, being in all the places. But is it affecting your productivity? Every day I have, you know, people calling me for social functions, family functions, religious functions. But what do I need to do? I keep my mind in such a way that, hey, my productivity for the Lord, my fruitfulness for the Lord, what is the major thing that God wants me to do? Are you with me? If I run about for everything with a lot of activity, trying to please everybody, at the end of the day, I'm not able to do what God wants me to do. You might not have solved all your problems, but this year, at the end of the year, you should say, I have progressed thus far. Are you with me? Amen. I have progressed thus far. And there should be something that you can actually say. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Focus on how, the next one, and not on what. Sometimes people sit there always focused on what. What happened to me, Pastor? What happened to my marriage, Pastor? What happened to my life, Pastor? What happened, Pastor? But people were focused on how. How can I solve this? Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at somebody and say, think like a winner. Amen. And I've realized that in your mind, most people have a... Is this helping somebody? Is this okay? You know, in your mind, you know, there are people who have a spirit or a thought pattern of inferiority. They can never think like a winner, never think like who God has called them to be, or you know, they just have a feeling of inferiority. Somebody in your life is always going to try to make you feel small in your life. One of the former first ladies of America, she said, Evelyn Roosevelt, she said, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. Nobody can make you feel inferior without your consent. People can do to your life or against your life whatever they want to. But let me tell you, your life is your own. Are you with me? You don't need to be worried who is against you or who is for you. What you got to think is, you know, as long as the Lord is on my side, that's fine. You have to realize that people for you or against you can make your life. Your life belongs to you. Hallelujah. Look at Job chapter 13, 1 to 4. And I close with that. Job chapter 13, 1 to 4.
Behold, my eyes have seen all this. My ears have heard and understood it. What you know, I also know. I am not inferior to you, but I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. But you forgers of lies, you are all worthless physicians.
Amen. Remember, Job has gone through a tough time in his life, and his friends are coming by him, and they are with him for 7 days. And after they chatted with Job for 7 days, the words that Job says back, their whole counseling for 7 days gave the impression, you have done something so terrible, that is why this is going on in your life. But Job says, I'm not inferior to any of you. He did not make them impose their feeling onto him. He says about four things that can actually influence your mind to make you feel inferior. One, he says, seeing. Seeing. When you read Job 13, you will find the word seeing. Imagine five people are chatting. And they're chatting and they're speaking about Taj Mahal. One says Taj Mahal is in Agra. Another says, I've seen the picture. Another person says, hey, it's a beautiful place. Shah Jahan built it. Fourth person says, hey, he built it for Mumtaz. And the fifth guy says, I've been there. I've seen it. Suddenly everybody else feels inferior because of what he has seen. But nobody has to make you feel that way. Are you with me? The second thing that is mentioned there is hearing. Hearing is spoken as the clarity between noise and sound. If you hear the word of God clearly, it will give you boldness and confidence. Even this message will give you a lot of boldness and confidence. If you're hearing me clearly. And sometimes people can sit and speak and they can, you know, speak about a situation, say, okay, I think Pastor last Sunday was sick. Somebody says he is sick. And everybody is trying to wonder what happened to Pastor last Sunday. And one person says, listen, I spoke with the pastor. He said he's been in Mangalore preaching in the church there. And that hearing, are you with me, had value. That person who heard it suddenly knows where the pastor was. That gives him a kind of, okay, security or whatever if he needed that. So sometimes people who have heard can make people who have not heard make them feel inferior. They can impose themselves on somebody. The third thing that is mentioned in that scripture is understand. Understand means to make sense of something. For example, if I say it's time for the church to prosper, some of the school children here will say, hey, I'm going to pass in my exam. They understood it in their level. The business person will understand it in their level and say, hey, my business breakthrough is going to come. A politician will say, I'm going to be the next chief minister. Are you with me? People understand in their own levels. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That word inferior actually means to feel diminished in quality or value. People's understanding, people's seeing, hearing, them saying something or doing something or doesn't have to make you feel diminished in your value. And over years in church, somebody comes and says, okay, you know, people, believers, they go through a mindset where they feel inferior. Somebody says, hey, I was in the missions in Africa. And you've not even been to Angamali for a mission. And you feel, okay, maybe God doesn't love me enough. Maybe I'm not valuable enough. Maybe God has got no purpose for me. God has got purpose for you, but not in Africa. Are you with me? You don't have to be at disadvantage in your life by what other people have experienced. Inferior means to make you feel little about yourself. You know, it is said that inferiority does not come by a military conquest, but by a mental conquest. In Ghana, in Nigeria, 6 million in one place and 16 million in the other country, when they were ruled by the British, there were only 400 Britishers in that country. And they ruled over 16 million of those Africans. Are you with me? Because mentally, they had made them to feel inferior. Not by military strength. They didn't have great guns and ammunition and all that. No, no. Just by the way they were made to feel. They were controlling their mind. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is why it is important. You should always see who is controlling your thought. Your thoughts belong to you. It has to be scripture. It has to be God's word that will control your thought. Some Tom, Dick, and Harry comes and says, listen, I've been traveling around Europe. I've been going around this place. And suddenly, you don't have to make... That doesn't make that person superior and you inferior. No. You're still God's child. You're still redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now look at Job 13, and I close with that. Who control their thinking? Read it, Job 13.
Behold, my eyes have seen all things. My ears have heard and understood it. What you know, I also know. I am not inferior to you. But I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. For you are forgers of lies.
The two peoples who control your thinking are forgers of lies.
You are all worthless physicians.
And worthless physicians. False appearing logical. That's what a forger of lie means. False appearing logical. Years back in US, if you speak about gay marriage, homosexuality, you can't be in that company because they had a strong biblical influence in the mind. So how the media made it look like a joke. It came all gay jokes, fun style. It just moved into the culture. 30 years later, they have legalized it. The majority of the people are not offended by that. Why? Because the mind is controlled by the media, by whether it be the movies, whether it be the music, whether it be the song, whether it be the rap, whether it be the style, the culture. It's forged their mind to believe a lie. Or some years back, style was, you look at Kerala, style was to have your pants over your stomach, over your belly button. Now you gotta pull it as low as possible. Now the kids or the people who wear that were not taught that at home. How many parents told their children, hey, pull down your pants, man? But the kids learned it. Where did they learn it from? Who told them what fashion or style is? Who made them to feel as if they are not accepted in a crowd if they have their pants up? The media, the culture. You have these slangs coming in music. People think if they don't have that slang, hey, they're not one with the crowd. They feel kind of inferior. Their mind is controlled. Like what's happening in the music world? What's happening in the media? What's happening? And it is always a forger of lie. And that is why the Bible says in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You should dress well. You should eat well. But speak well. That is good. But don't get into a race because the media said, you buy the latest shirt, you buy the latest pant, and you spend all your pocket money, all the money that you buy it, and you dress for the function, you go there, 2 days later it's a new fashion. Now what do you do with the old ones? Who said it's a new fashion? Who dictated it? It's a forger of lie. And you think because if you don't wear that, if you don't act that, you're not one with the crowd. But that's where the mind is controlled. It's been controlled by a forger of lie. Are you still with me? Whether it be about morality, whether it be about family life, whether it be about love, whether it be about healing, whether it be about deliverance, whether it be about Jesus, who dictates it? Who influences your mind? One, the forger of lie. The second one is worthless physicians. Who are the worthless physicians? They don't have solutions. Are you with me? They don't have solutions. A worthless physician is somebody who doesn't have a solution. God's word has got the solution. Amen. I mean, just imagine somebody wants to know about love and you got to find it from a Hollywood star who is married seven times. He's a worthless physician. Are you with me? Or a celebrity, or an actor. I mean, what I'm trying to say is, believers, more and more they come to church, they pray in other tongues, they worship the Lord, they go back, but their minds are being controlled by a system of the world. And so all your prayer, your effort, your energy is all on Lord. You know, you're trying to be with the world, one with the world. Oh, is this helping somebody? Praise the Lord. How do you counter it? A solution. Job 13, the same scripture. What did Job say?
Behold, my eyes have seen this. My ears have heard and understood it. What you know, I also know. I'm not inferior to you. But I would speak to the Almighty.
Yes. He says, I will speak to the Almighty. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. I will speak to the Almighty. Second one. Read it.
And I desire to reason with God.
And I will reason with God. The antidote is get close to God, get close to Jesus. Let Him be the source of your morality and fashion and ethics and whatever. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Let Him reveal His value to you. When you walk in there, you speak to Him. When you know, I cannot overemphasize on the importance of personal prayer. You gotta make sure that you spend your quality time with Jesus. Every day. To make sure that your mind is not controlled or dictated by the forger of lie, where you can, you're not reasoned out with a lie. But you look to God's word. I will reason with God. I will speak to Him and say, Lord, what do you have to speak about morality? Is it okay? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Look at somebody and say, talk to God. Talk to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, in your mind, so what are the mindsets that you need to be transformed to? Did you take down notes? Did you realize what I was saying? Action-oriented. Learn to see the big picture. Don't be somebody who reacts. Are you with me? You want to make decisions. If you know you're called by God, is it in harmony with the bigger call of God in my life? See the big picture. Don't look at why, but how. Don't think about just activities. I need to do something. Just be restless and just go about doing something. And D.L. Moody used to say, if you can make somebody just quiet with their eyes closed, quiet for 2 minutes, they will realize the emptiness of their soul. Then you can give an altar call. Just quiet. When you're seated alone, away from TV, away from music, away from the crowds, alone, are you at peace with God? when you're quiet with your eyes closed, are you, hey, hey, are you sure of eternity, that you belong to Jesus? That's where your strength is. Are you with me? That's where your confidence is, boldness is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You don't walk under a spirit of intimidation. You walk not controlled by the world and media and all that. No. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Not to have an inferior mindset. Let's close our eyes and pray tonight and ask God's grace to help us in our minds.